It's been 30 years, well 40 actually, since I started my apprenticeship, that I've been making things, making lots of things. Worked in the film industry, built my own house, made quite a bit of furniture, and lately been working here at Urban Art Projects, UAP. But 40 years ago I started my apprenticeship, 41 to be absolutely precise, and I learned to be a pattern maker. And over those next 10 or so years, most of the work I did was highly disciplined, obeying the rules, and not deviating from what was expected of me. Then about 30 years ago, and we're talking about 1987 here, the year before Expo 88 arrived here in Brisbane, I got a bit of work with a company called Art Busters. And Art Busters had the project of producing a lot of the art that was seen around the landscape of Expo. And the first job I got pulled in on was to make this large-scale rhinoceros beetle. You may know what a rhinoceros beetle looks like. They're about probably 100 mil or so long. They have a large protruding proboscis off their lower and upper head, two of them, and they sort of come together to make sort of like a bit of a mandible, but in the vertical plane rather than the horizontal plane. It's used for mating rituals and fighting males off and those sort of things. They're a dark brown black beetle, come from far north Queensland and I think a lot of places around the world. So I had a few samples of this rhinoceros beetle and component parts, and I had to basically go about making an oversized version of one. Instead of it being 100 mil long, it had to be like 1.5 meters long, and when the carapace is open and the wings are extended, the wings, I suppose on the real thing, is probably a good hand span wide, but the wings ended up being probably 3 meters wide. Massive, massive thing. It was quite spectacular when it was eventually finished. Anyway, back to the story. The job I had to do was to take these components, and in the first case it was the biggest of the leg components of this rhinoceros beetle, and shape them up out of foam. Now, coming from the pattern making trades, what I found really difficult about that is I'm used to working to hard discipline rules. Engineering drawings, workshop drawings that have datums and reference points and lines, and you do not deviate from what is expected of you. You do as you are asked. And here I am given a few scrappy broken bits of a rhinoceros beetle, and it's sort of like, go ahead Ian, go and make that work. So I measured them up and I transferred those measurements to foam and I proceeded to go about shaping them. It's interesting, I found that really difficult. It doesn't sound that hard, but I found it exceptionally difficult because I was working with an organic form, and organic forms are not something I'd ever worked with at that time in my life. So here I am, 30 years later, and I'm doing a variation on a theme. You can hear me scratching around in the background here. I'm shaping foam yet again. And what we've got to do, and I'll put a couple of photos in with this post, is do these organic branching branches, I suppose you want to say, that are going to be cast in bronze, and they're going underneath a table, the legs of a table, but they're sort of all coming from a central hub of probably about six of them, and then they rise up and they branch out and to create the supporting structure for this tabletop. And as I'm doing it, it reminds me very much of that elephant beetle, that rhinoceros beetle, in that I'm working with the two planes, you know, two side elevations onto a block of foam, which is the information I've been given. And then I have to round the corners to create these shapes that represent what they're after. Now, it does sound easy, but they want some spirals. They want, it's not just evenly rounded, it's like I said, spiraled, but it's also oblong, and the oblongness of it, the ovalness of it, changes, it twists and turns as it goes along the length of these branches, and it's more challenging than it looks. It looks like you just get a lump of foam, cut it out in two planes, and then round the corners, but it's not like that. I find it much easier than it was 30 years ago because I've done this sort of thing a few times now, but I still find it a bit challenging, and it's nice to be doing almost the same sort of mental headspace as I did all those years ago when I worked on that rhinoceros beetle. These pieces, what I'm doing right now is I'm using a shore form to scrape away at the foam, and very shortly I'll be using sandpaper to even it out and smooth it. We'll then coat it in a couple of layers of house paint. We're using polystyrene foam, so you can't put resins on it because they just immediately chew into it. Back in the day I did use polyurethane foam because we coated everything in polyester resin and fiberglass mat to create these rhinoceros beetle components. What we're going to be doing with this project is I'll finish shaping this in, now going to the sandpaper, we'll shape these in foam and paint them in house paint, and then that will go through to the foundry and be cast in bronze and then cleaned up in the bronze. It's nice to reminisce about how far I've come and how much easier I can do this now. I threw myself at the job many years ago with Art Busters. Didn't really know what the hell I was doing, but I threw myself at it, and I hung around that place for quite some time working on that rhinoceros beetle. I've gone looking on the web for it, for images of it. Can't find any anywhere. They don't exist, or if they do, they're in somebody's private photo collection. Maybe one day I'll find a photo of it and I'll attach to this post. But yeah, it's nice to be back here. Bye for now.